Council ready?
Yep.
Everybody ready? Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call the Committee of the Whole meeting of Tuesday, February 12, 2019 at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Linville?
Present.
Brenner Miller?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Terlouwski?
Here.
Nielsen?
Here.
Spitznagle?
Here.
All of council present, along with our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, our law solicitor, William Mason. Next order of business, any residents or persons having anything before council? And I know everybody here knows you can talk between each of our titles, you know, things. Yeah, come on up.
Benjamin Blondin, 1683 South Meadow Park. Just a few issues or talking points, whatever. I think it's admirable that we've moved the flag away from our former mayor and Eske's picture on the wall. I appreciate the neighborly environment of this council meeting these days. I really appreciate it. I listen to the recordings, you know, when I can't come and all that. And I was listening the last council meeting, and there was a suggestion about the cable and wireless, about the village looking into actually doing it ourselves. And I just wanted to speak to something that I'm familiar with the whole 5G wireless communications coming these days, and I just wasn't sure if you guys were aware of some of the stuff going on with the federal government. So I just have a couple studies and different quotes from some of the doctors leading in these issues. I'm just going to read it. The rapid increase in mobile telephone usage has generated concern about possible health risks related to radio frequency electromagnetic fields and this technology. Dr. Sharon Goldberg, an internal medicine physician and professor, gives her testimony regarding the dangers of electromagnetic radiation. She says wireless radiation has biological effects, period. Dr. Martin Paul, the professor at Washington State University, said the current plan, which has already been approved by the U.S. Congress and the FCC, is to put tens of millions of 5G antennae radiating every single person and other organisms in this whole country without even a single biological safety test of genuine 5G radiation. That's absolutely insane. Dr. Paul is one of the leading EMF experts in the world. Also, on Wednesday, September 26, 2018, the FCC voted to grant itself unconstitutional authority powers to further their 5G agenda with an extremely heavy hand. The new order from the FCC declares that it will effectively steamroll all local governments and Americans and do whatever it wants to deploy 5G throughout the nation. Even according to dissenting FCC Commissioner Jessica Rose Worsell, said that this action is a gross overreach of the property rights and will be slowed down by many local government lawsuits. I was just wondering if we had any thoughts or just comments on if we're going to allow these 5G radios on our houses or on our telephone poles, or if there's any, if we're aware of these issues. That's all. And I have all this information. I was going to send an email to all of you with
There's 13 to 15
different articles, studies, you know, describing these issues.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, we haven't, as a body, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
Or,
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
What was it that we voted no on about having those?
That was for the
mini
cell towers along the road. I don't know if those are for 5G or whatever. Those were more...
Like boost cell towers?
They were like boosters.
They
say it's part of this. They're going to use them for the cars.
Drivers.
Right.
No driver cars or whatever.
Okay.
But that was it. We just put a...
Mr. Mayor, we put a moratorium on it.
We put a moratorium. We kind of followed what a lot of communities are doing. But I don't know, Ben, if that's related to what...
Yeah, I just figured we'd try to get a little ahead of this because it's already they're already taking it out of our hands. So I just wanted to make us aware.
Yeah, send us that. We'll
Mr. Blondin, I heard a in-depth radio show about this.
Yeah.
And the government is pushing this.
Yeah.
It's not being tested.
Right.
And so are the companies pushing this through.
Right.
And it's kind of scary because the radiation is going to be a lot higher and no one's going to escape it, whether you have a phone or anything else or not.
Right.
So it's funny you brought it up because I thought I was one of the only people who heard this radio show. Thank you for that. And we haven't heard anything here as far as anybody wanting to put anything up. But it's only going to help a select few. Besides, oh, it'll be a few milliseconds quicker to upload a video.
It's being posed as the connected internet of everything. You know, your fridge is going to talk to your toaster and all that shit.
Right, exactly.
My refrigerator doesn't need to speak to me.
No, mine are at odds. Yeah, no.
I do know that Trump himself is pushing this through as more of an economic booster, also. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Anybody else have anything before council? Does your daughter want to say hello? Not too many times do we get somebody her age here, but we like that. That's okay. The kids make us all feel better. Okay, well, let's start. You want to start, Denny? You want me to open up for the infrastructure committee?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we got discussion. Item number five is the infrastructure committee. Denny Linville's the chair of that. We have Rob here tonight, who is our service director, Rob Kalman. If you never met him or put a name with a face, Rob's here tonight. So he's going to help us with that. I know Denny's talked with Don Sheehy or Joe Gelati, our village engineers. They couldn't make it tonight. So if there's any questions we can't answer, we'll have to get back to you. But Denny, I'll let you open it up and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this is it's a brief report, but it's available if anyone would like a copy of it. And it just most of it comes from memos and notes from our village engineers talking about our infrastructure. I primarily the roads and right-of-ways that we have. And they recommend that we spend $456,000 in 2019. I have a memo on this as well. I got memos covering this stuff if anyone would like copies of that. And the county allotted a grant of $250,000, especially on Alexander Road. And it's to be resurfaced this summer from Northville Road to Walton Road. And Mr. Sheehy notes that the condition of that portion is like in fair condition now, left to go another year to be in poor condition. Then also, the area previously crack sealed was Dunham Road to Northville Road and completed in 2013. It was last resurfaced in 1992 and is scheduled to be milled and resurfaced in 2019. I'm sorry. We could crack seal this area for about $5,000, okay? And there is a lot of alligatoring, however, in those roads. I rode over them, and I could tell you. And there's also a lot of base work there's some in Alexander, but a lot of it's up there in the horseshoe off of Egbert Road. And we've got some money, you know, for primarily Alexander, and we can finish that off with the grant plus a $200,000 zero interest loan And then the OPWC, we're trying to get some money from them as well. I think they'll contribute some money, about $170,000, to that portion of Alexander. Another memo of March the 5th, 2018 recommends resurface of streets Chestnut, Hickory, Tulip, Logan, and Fern. Again, Mr. Shee and Mr. Gelati recommend spot repairs throughout the village at an appropriate cost of $76,400 if we want to go that way. Chestnut, Hickory, and Tulip were last resurfaced in 1983, or more than 30 years ago. Fern and Logan were last resurfaced in 1989 and 1990, respectively. Spot repairs were done on Logan in 1992 at a cost, I believe, it was about $55,000. We did those spot repairs on Logan at that time. But again, here, though, if you ride up Logan and Fern, you'll see a lot of alligatoring. You'll see a lot of chipping off the sides and the base. Really needs some work there as well, just like the streets over on Allen, or Tulip, Hickory, and Chestnut. Then to wrap up, you know, again, copies of the memos and this little report here is available to anyone who would like to have a copy of it. And if you got any questions, I'll try to answer as best I can. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Hi, Betty. Just with that said, I know we've been talking a little bit, all of us as council members among each other and stuff. And as residents, you know, we can't get any funding for the secondary roads. Any funding to do any secondary roads is on the village. We can get funding for the county roads, the state routes, and that's why when funding comes to us, we get grants. We take advantage of that, especially if they need repair, because that is money we can get. We can get low interest loans. The secondary roads is on us. And as you know, we're aware of the roads being bad, but it's the budget. We're watching the funds. Last year, I think our review from the engineers was from last year. They did a study. They give us the roads that need it, like Mr. Linville mentioned. You know, you have the horseshoe, which is the three roads. I think what was the breakout? That's like 400 something thousand. If we did Logan and Fern, would be 100,000.
Yeah.
Or I know Rob and Joe talked today and told us, and Denny had in his report, about 80,000 if we just did repairs this year.
Yeah.
And they suggested, if anything, at least do, and Rob, you can talk about it a little bit, do these repairs. I know just talking to Katie, our fiscal officer, and talking to council members, it's not, we'd like to repair them all. It's all about the finances. So I think what I would recommend, but it's up to how council feels, maybe wait till the second quarter and see where we are financially, and maybe bring this back to the table and see what we want to do. What we do know, and all of us having discussions with the engineers, and just like your house, we got to repair them sooner or later, and the longer you wait, the more it costs. You know, you have to keep your infrastructure intact. But I know there's some things Rob and Joe have been talking about to maybe get some of these other things paid. We did get, we do have an opportunity from a grant for Dunham Road that we applied for. That came forward, but the sewers and the water's mains are bad on that. So we thought, I think Rob, you mentioned to me, maybe we can get some funding there to help cover a lot more of that. So, you know, I don't know how council, we can talk about it more if you want to wait to the second quarter and see how we are financially. I know my development, Barkley Estates, people are complaining, my residents all that, you know, and my neighbors about that, and you know, I always tell them, well, it's bad, but it's not the worst in Walton Hills. You know, and the thing about that development, it's a big development. It's over $500,000. You know, we know eventually we have to do these roads, but so I know Denny has spent a lot of time with Joe and Rob talking about it and stuff. So we're trying to, we want to do something. It's just really about the finances and where we're at. And I think the residents understand that too, and they know that's why for the last couple of years we haven't, you know, we've just been doing repairs. We've done a lot of repairs in-house, a lot of cold patching by our service department, even to save money there. That's kind of where, just a summary, I don't know, let's see if we want to have some more discussion on it. Robbie, you want to add to it a little bit? You, because you know the most about it. If you want to introduce yourself, Rob. And
Rob Kalman, street commissioner. No, just so we're clear, essentially what we're doing with Dunham Road is similar in fashion what we did already with Alexander Road. Alexander is going to be resurfaced from Northfield to Walton. That's going to take place this year. And what we were able to do with that was we were able to get the OPWC money, grant money, zero interest loan money. So what we have already received for Dunham Road is the county came swinging with $250,000. Now we're going to go for OPWC money. And if we get that, maybe in 2020 we can do something with Dunham Road. As far as Hickory, Tulip, and Chestnut, the horseshoe, we put in with the Cleveland Water Department for to get the water lines replaced. We've had four water breaks there within the last 6 months. If that money comes through to do the water lines, we will need to push forward and resurface the road. It just needs to be done. So we would replace the water lines. There's a couple different ways we can attack that. So we're waiting. We're going to see what happens with that. So at the bare minimum, what we're looking at as far as that brings you up to date on Dunham. Alexander is resurfaced this year. The bare minimum is what's indicated by the engineers are the 76.4 for spot repairs throughout the village. That just needs to be done. So that's where we're at with that. These spot repairs would be full depth repairs, such as on Chestnut or Hickory. And it is something that when it comes time to resurface, we would mill and fill. It's not like we would do this repair and then have to do the repair again. But some of the areas on the streets have yielded so much that it would create a hazard if we were to let it go another year. So the 76.4 is something that we're going to be looking at this year, irregardless. If the water, you know, if the water company doesn't come through and do the new lines, if we do nothing else, that's we need to do that. That's it.
No, that's what we want your opinion on it.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Go ahead, Brian.
I would. I think we have that money in the budget. Looking at the last numbers, I would recommend that we go ahead and appropriate that $76,000. Actually, you know, no more than $77,000 or $80,000, something like that, because there's always appropriate that money. At least they can plan on that. Then, like Rob said, they have to do it, and for basic repairs and maintenance and. Looking at the last numbers, I think that's an easy one to come up with. As far as the total cost of Dunham Road, that $200,000 zero interest loan, that's for 20 years, correct?
Yes.
Is that 20 years zero interest?
Well, the Dunham Road.
I mean, I'm sorry, Alexander Road. Did
yes.
I say Dunham?
Yes.
Alexander
zero
Road.
Zero interest, too.
Yes.
Zero interest. That's from Northfield to Alexander. No, Walton. Northfield to
You'll
Walton.
You'll get them straight.
I'll get them straight.
Off the names.
That's right. Northfield to Walton Road.
Yes.
And then I know I was on council when we did that intersection down there. We made the turning lane between Alexander and Dunham. I got that one right. Mm-hmm. Is there any plan for the western part of Alexander Road in the future?
No.
Okay. So it's just this area.
Well, unfortunately, the way we looked at it last year when I was speaking with the engineers, we can't kick the can down the road anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, from the rain today, we have potholes opening up the size of garbage cans. And this time of year is the worst time of year to patch them, because you're going over there with a cold patch, you're throwing them, right. The hole's going to pop out tomorrow morning when it hits 20 degrees.
Right.
So we keep throwing money at that hill, trying to keep it as safe as possible. The progression was supposed to be Alexander to Walton, or Northfield, you did it. Northfield to Walton, and then we're going to go Walton to Dunham,
mm-hmm.
and then Dunham to the line. We gotta sneak Dunham Road Hill in there. So it would be,
yeah.
If we can stay on track, if we can keep obtaining funding, 2021, if we're lucky,
mm-hmm.
2021, 22 for the next section of Alexander's is what we can forecast now, if we can obtain the funding.
Okay. There's also, when was it, Denny, last year or 2 years ago now, you and I looked at a guardrail on Dunham Road, and basically by, it's just north of Egbert. Road.
The one that's all rusted out?
The one that's all rusted out.
And the paint I put on it wouldn't hold it together?
Yeah.
That one.
we did take pictures of it at the time and that. And that, I did speak to Mr. Sheehy about that. I emailed him and that, and he said that he would contact the county, mm-hmm. but nothing's been done. And to me, looking at that, and Mr. Linville looked at it also, he agreed at the time, and I don't know what your opinion is now, but if a car hits that the right way, all they're going to do is hit one of those poles sticking up, and it's going to flip the car over, rather than preventing it from going over the road there. I think it's a hazard, and I think it needs to be fixed. So I don't know if you've looked at it recently or what.
I haven't done that, no.
No, we'll look at Robert's. We'll get an estimate for it.
I look at it daily.
You look, yeah. at it, well, let's get an estimate daily. For it.
I'll put an estimate together for it.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Let's do that.
Something we can do in-house?
I think Mr. Sheehy said that the county, that's the county's thing, and they would come and look at it or whatever.
I can look into that. I can look at that. The culvert is the county's responsibility. We're keeping track of the culvert that's mm-hmm. very old there.
Right.
As far as the guardrail, there used to be a section. There used to be a section where Egbert intersects Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you're coming down Egbert, it was right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
We researched that and spoke to the engineers. That one fell apart, and where it was, it's technically not required.
Hmm.
So that one wasn't replaced. However, if I remember correctly, although it be a county road, that was our responsibility, and we were going to. So I'll check with Mr. Sheehy and verify. Either way, I'll get numbers together on it for you
Thank
guys.
You.
Yeah, because if it isn't our responsibility, then we'll push it on the county, or maybe see if we can get some funding for it.
Yeah. I don't believe the county has any money anymore.
Well, they gave
because
us...
Because the last time we did Dunham Road Hill, we didn't spend any money on it.
Right.
The county did it.
Right.
Well, that's what we're getting. That's what the $250,000 is coming from, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody, anything else? Rob? Okay. Now that was for the roads.
Mayor?
Go ahead.
May I ask Rob how our salt situation is?
It's all right.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You can sit down now.
It's a pretty long story. The bottom line is, a typical year we go through 2,400 ton. We had a real light season coming up on the winter. You know, went a long time before we had to start salting. I've currently ordered and received just about 700 ton.
Mm-hmm.
We started the season with 700 in the bin. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Thank you. I read an article about the roads going off of what Mr. Blondin had come up with radiation. There, Cuyahoga County, Summit County, and there's a couple other counties in the state that use, and I've never seen it, there's a spray that they're using on the ground, and it's supposedly radioactive, and it's not tested, not nothing. The government's saying don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
But other people, watchdogs are going, wait a minute, we're worrying about it because it's testing. They sent it to labs. They took various samples, and it's coming up I don't know how many times more than what radioactive than what you're supposedly, what's safe for human interaction. So I don't know what's going to happen with that or what. I know we don't use that on our roads at all, but I thought that was an interesting article.
It's garbage.
Yeah, I can forward it to you. I'll forward it to you.
I saw that too.
Did you see that? What's the name of that, that brand of that? Do you remember it?
They're using it around here?
They're using it in the county, Cuyahoga County. It's not used in the village, but in Cuyahoga County, Summit County they mention, and a couple other counties I believe they mention.
The county trucks are doing the highways.
Highways.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So you bring it home with you.
Yeah. Right.
Right to your
garage. I thought you were going to talk about the beaches that they use.
Yeah.
Any other things road related?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Could we just get an updated list of the roads and the conditions whenever?
Yeah.
Possible, or
did,
if
I thought we had one last year.
We have one last year, but it caught it.
Yeah.
It's not going to change much, or if at all, and it's going to cost us to do that.
Yeah, that's why we didn't do it. You know, I talked to Don and Joe about that, and talked to Don. He said, well, we did it in, what, that's 17. He said, Don, nothing's changed except they probably got worse. And they charge us for that study. So he said...
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't mean a whole entire study. I just meant a copy of it.
Yeah. We'll get you. I thought we emailed everybody. But if not, we'll get you a copy.
That was
no
a while
problem.
Ago.
Yeah.
That was last year.
Yeah.
No,
that was
any,
a while ago.
Did you send some? But it doesn't matter. We'll get everybody.
I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not a problem. But why we didn't get it up, you know, why we didn't do it again is because...
No, within 2 years. I mean,
everybody charges you for everything. Even just to make a copy of it, they probably, you know. But, yeah, we can. That's not a problem. Other infrastructure items. I know, Denny, we talked about. This council talked about it last year. It was one of the projects on South Meadow Park, the culvert replacement. Underneath the road, we didn't do. It was scheduled for last year. It's already been approved, but then we had the head wall in Barclay Estates go. So the funding for that was spent on that. This is part of the sewer district community cost share program. And talking to Joe. We have about $80,000+ in it right now. We get more money each month from that. The district. Go ahead, Rob. Did you have something to add? Go ahead. You can talk about it.
We got $97,338 in the fund.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Okay.
The project is $80,000.
Good.
And we'll be putting that out for bid the spring for completion this year.
Right. And the body's already approved that. They've approved that. And what that is, the culvert pipe is too small. It was put in. It's the village's responsibility. It's right under the center of the road. It's, what is it, Rob? It's 44 inches. Should be 52.
Yes.
But the big problem is it's got a bend in it. It's restricting the water there. And there's about five residents. Some of their yards get flooded. All the way to their basements get flooded. It's been going on quite a while. We thought it would be done. Our plan was to do it last year. Didn't happen. So just kind of remind everybody about that and stuff. And I know Don and Joe and Rob have that on the radar. How much do we receive a month from the sewer district? Katie, do you know what? Is it a month or is it more?
Everybody points to Katie.
I asked Don the other day and he wasn't sure.
We don't manage or see any of those funds.
Right.
They get full control over them. So it's all based, I guess, on the collection of people who are paying their bills in a timely fashion. So that's your extra $9, $27 a quarter, depending on how large of a yard you have for the stormwater runoff fee. But I think we get probably about $80,000 a year. 80 to 90, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
But we have done quite a few projects, which is why our fund is a little bit lower. Now it's back where it needs to be. But I do think it is somewhere 80, 90,000 a year.
So the benefit, I mean, none of us want to pay that extra fee, but they do give us some of that back to use for projects. We can't go on private property. We did do one with a cost share last year with a resident. Okay, and they had to pay a percentage of it, but it is used to help our stormwater problems in the village. So when they come to us, the engineer and the street commissioner looks at that and see if it fits into the category, and also the sewer, you know, NEORSD has to approve it too to meet their requirements, and then we can move forward with the project. So at least we're paying for it, but at least we're getting something back to reinvest in our community and help our residents, you know, or the village. You know, part of the South Meadow Park, it's part of our, we're having problems with, it's eroding the road. Besides, it's not just their issue, it's ruining the road, and it's our responsibility because it's ours. So I don't think we have any other ones in front of us right now, do we, Rob, besides that one?
We had that, if I may, Mayor, that Alexander, the poles, the new poles, the gateway.
No, but I mean for this money, Denny.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, I don't think any other project's been. So what will happen is that fund will just keep building in our community, and then if we have other projects that come to us, you know, something happens and it has to do with stormwater, we can use that money in that fund for those. Has to get approved by the sewer district plus our engineers. You know, it has to fit the criteria. So it's a good thing. We're very fortunate that we're getting some of that back, because you don't normally get any of it back. Mm-hmm. So, Denny, what were you?
Well,
I'm sorry.
I know we've discussed Alexander and Northfield Road as well, the gateway beautification up there with the new street lights and fluted poles and things like that. That's that had a price tag of about $100,000 on it.
I think that, I don't know how you guys feel, I think that kind of came off the table when the Roxino was sold, and the former owner of the Roxino was going to said if we invested in that corner with these fluted poles, they would give us some money at the time.
We thought
the amount was low. Well, exactly. As soon as that was sold, that came off the table.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we're kind of...
Do we have an updated timeline of when that, with the telephone poles and everything, when that will be completed?
I don't know.
No?
Mm-mm. We got a lot of it. I had a resident, a resident who was a former engineer for the illuminating company, contact me and Rob, came in the office, gave me a couple contact numbers to get some of that moved a little quicker as far as AT&T and some of the cable off those poles to move some of that, and we made those contacts, and as you can see, they're cleaning that up. Not that it probably would have happened, but with his contacts, it kind of moved things forward a little bit, a little faster. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get cleaned up. They're going to be, you can see some of the poles. Me and Fred were looking yesterday. We took a ride. A couple of the poles are going to be ready to be removed there.
And they're already cut.
Yeah, the ones that are cut there. So it should clean up that corner a little bit.
Does Mayor?
Yes.
Current events, that person that ran into the thing today, do they have, is insurance going to cover that? Do we know that? Or
if they have it, it will
insurance?
Cover it. We haven't gotten quite
we
that
don't,
far
we don't
to
know.
The insurance aspect. The last time it happened, their insurance company covered all of the repairs.
Right.
So I'm sure it will again.
Yeah, I haven't. The chief's actually on vacation. Dave Kwiatkowski's filling in for the chief. I know he was in communication with Rob. Said and Rob communicated to me what was happening, so I'll have some discussion with Dave probably tomorrow, next couple of days, to see where that stands. You know, so it happened. I think it was about 2 p.m. today, 1:32. So,
yeah. Boy, I drove right past her about 4:00 and didn't notice a thing.
It was so cleaned up.
<That's 'cause laughs> They left some, like I and Robbie left some of the people, I mean, they cleaned it up and...
I was going
to
south
look, otherwise,
Northfield.
Yeah, you really wouldn't.
You know.
That's why I didn't see it.
Our service department made it look halfway decent, so it's the best they could. Anything else for the infrastructure?
Mayor?
Yes, oh yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I just want to bring everybody up to date on the West Creek Road assessment. So the engineers have put together their project cost estimates for putting it and dedicating that West Creek Road. It's about $516,000. So the next step for us is to have that verified by the engineers, that cost, and then come back to council. And I think the next step is to pass a resolution of necessity. So we're probably in about somewhere about the next 5 to 6 weeks, we'll have a resolution coming forward to pass the resolution of necessity to move forward with an assessment. I have sent our draft letter, I didn't send it yet, to the one company is CSBK. It's got a big piece of property on the corner of that road, but it doesn't abut the new road. So I need to have some correspondence with them to figure out if they want to be part of that assessment or what their intentions are. There's an easement that travels across from their property onto the roadway there. So just want to figure out what they want to do with an assessment. But other than that, we should be able to move forward, I would think, in about 5-6, probably next few months. Get
Will
started.
You, just for the residents, kind of touch base about that. As you know, HGE, a company, cement supply company, at the end of that road bought the former Bedford property and are constructing their concrete supply that went through Planning Commission and Council. And with that, we entered into a development agreement, because if you drive down that road, there's not much of a road there. It's pretty much dirt with potholes all over, and it's terrible. They own a very large chunk of the frontage of that. So part of the development agreement was to develop a road there with the companies that have frontage on that road pay for it. They're going to be assessed with that. They're going to get an improvement of a new road, but they're going to pay for it. The only downside on our side is we do have our old service garage, so we're going to have to pay a little bit, but it will improve our service garage there, and we're probably going to put it up for sale. Okay, and it will help, and it will help that whole industrial area probably improve those properties. And it needs to be done. I mean, it's terrible. And the landowners are going to pay for it, which is a normal practice. They'll be assessed that. And so part of that development agreement, we have to move forward with that, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and one of the bonuses for the village is that the two parcels that the village owned along that roadway, obviously when it's sold, those assessments will stay on the property, so the new owner will actually pay the assessment.
Not the village anymore. So when we sell the property, they will continue the payments. And then we won't be paying nothing on it, but we'll get a new road in the village.
Well, we upfront the money, though, correct?
Correct.
Well, the assessment, I wouldn't, we can talk about it later. I can't assess ourselves. I mean, so if we sell it, then I could put an assessment on after the fact. I mean, essentially, we're going to have to issue debt to pay for this.
Right.
The assessments will be over whatever time period chosen, so whether it's 10 or 20 years, we're not going to get the money back right away. Right. So it is a decision that needs to be made. I mean, and the chunk of money that is ours, I believe, is $200,000 or more of the road that we'd be responsible for.
Well, we have to look at that. That hasn't...
Yeah, it's not determined yet, but it's about 86,000.
86,000.
Yeah, it's 86,000.
Say 200 out of 500 and some.
No, we're at 86.
So we're at 86.
We're at 86.
Right, but you said the total project would be 516,000.
Right. HGE has the largest. What do they have there, Bill? We'll have to get that to everybody.
215,000.
They're going to have to, they'll have the 215,000.
But that's going to make that entire parkway, industrial parkway, more valuable by doing that,
sure,
and more, not only more valuable, but more of a commodity to people who are looking for a place to move their business because they can now get those trucks back there on that road. So that will make that area a lot more marketable and hopefully help bring more employees to the village.
Right.
Exactly.
Is there anything, any creative ways that we can, say, produce some money, like you know, assess those people an initial amount to help cover the cost of the road, and maybe some financing? I don't know.
This special assessment is laid out by the Ohio Revised Code, how it takes place. So essentially, as Katie has said, it's going to be a note or however it's paid for up front. And then it just gets paid back by yearly by the landowners.
But we have to front the money, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's quite a chunk of money, though. Mm-hmm.
Truly.
And I don't think we can get any funding for that. I'm not sure. I know Tom was going to look into that. Tom Jordan, our economic development consultant, who was part of the development agreement along with Bill when HGE approached us. It's a necessity. I mean, it's just, go down Westbrook Road and you'll see. First of all, you gotta realize it's even a road. You wouldn't even know it's a road and these businesses are there. We've already been told there is even some liability of the condition of the road that we're lucky to have it come forward with us, forcing us to improve that road just because of the condition of the road, you know, because that's our industrial parkway. We are responsible for those roads. That's not a county road or anything like that. So that's kind of the catch of it.
It's pretty bad. I was done with it.
But we just wanted this thing. I'll probably that's something we can also talk about in economic development too, when we have our meeting and let Tom explain, not that he has a crystal ball or anything, but he has experience in where we're at with a street like that and the development of it and how important it is. HGE, we were back there yesterday. Rob came and said, you know, they're really doing a great job following the plans, putting in a nice building there, and they're spending some money, and when they do that, part of it is they want to develop that road too. So, and who knows, maybe they'll be the ones to cement it. I don't know. We'll see how that all works out. Anybody want to add anything to that?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Jeff.
Just asking about the industrial parkway. Rob, has there been anything done with Young? I have not seen any correspondence.
So I met with Kevin Smalley from First Energy.
Thank you.
I guess it was last week I met with him. There is a, we have a substantial project going on with regards to the hole next to that transformer.
Okay.
They've come and ran new conduits, and I'm sure the business owner that has been in contact with you and Brian, I'm sure that she passes by this.
Mm-hmm.
They've ran new conduits all the way from the back of Hannah, all the way up to Tower, all the way down. I mean, it's a substantial project. They're doing all of this in an effort so they can restore power without any blackouts. Now, they were trying to do it with a shutdown, and none of the business owners could get on the same page of when the shutdown would occur. So that kicks the First Energy into having to absorb overtime costs, which they're not willing to do. So it's not totally stalemated, you know, but new conduits, I mean, my goodness, I have more than a mile of conduits getting laid right now to correct this issue. And they're attempting all of it without blackouts. So it's just because the business owner doesn't see the work right outside her door doesn't mean it's not getting done. It's,
right.
It's a pretty substantial project.
Well, at least we have something to tell her when
yeah.
she...
And additionally...
Before we had nothing to tell her.
Additionally, the... we're going to be getting a plan for setting new poles on Hannah. None exist now. Everything's underground. But to correct the problem, they'd have to do a diagonal saw cut across the Goodyear building over there on the corner. So that plan will be forthcoming.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at with that one.
Now, me and Rob talked yesterday, and he shared with me what he just shared with you. And I asked Rob to reach out to Kevin with an email so he would give us something back in writing, you know, where that's at, and then we were going to share it with everybody. Just to kind of, you know, when you have to put something in writing, you'll be a little more clear sometimes, maybe a timeline and stuff. So I know Rob was going to take care of that, so we'll be able to forward that to everybody too.
Is there still an AT&T box laying on the ground over there?
Yes.
And what? Why?
I don't know. Why?
Well, that was another
right. No, that's
complaint
right.
That this AT&T box right. has been there for like a couple years.
Yeah, I've been in contact with AT&T, and the most result, the best result I got is when I was driving out of there one time, there was an AT&T worker. So I grabbed him and I took him down there and I said, "This needs fixed." And he said, "Oh, you know, it's the other department." He said, "I'll call him right now."
Yeah, it's not my job.
Yeah, the problem with AT&T versus the Illuminate company, we have a representative that, you know, Kevin, who you guys have met, we have a contact. AT&T, you call there, which we have, and you ask for somebody, there's no distinct person handling this area like the Illuminating Company. We call Kevin, this is his district, he handles this community. AT&T, it's kind of like they send you a repair person each different time, and then there's nothing. Now, with that said, just so you guys know, Rob, you guys did fill it in one time. We took the... Yeah, talk about it. Just so everybody knows that the village has been trying to do what we can, even though it's...
What's tough is First Energy is pretty responsive for us and our needs.
Right.
So when we have a project like this run off the rails and it's a year and a half messing around with it, they clearly have several variables that they're trying to deal with, whether it's the overtime or the blackout or, you know, do we run new conduits, do we run it overhead, you know, so there's clearly several variables they're working with since they are typically so responsive to us. And then I also wanted to add that the transformer in question is in the utility right of way, and even if you drove back there, it's barely visible from the front door of that business.
Interesting.
Just so everybody knows. So, but we had so much email back and forth and everything else, even though it's not our responsibility, I took the guys up there, filled everything in, planted and landscaped the whole area, and the very next week, First Energy's contractor showed up and dug all the earth out, and I mean, whatever we had in there, 24 yards of topsoil.
Wow.
Plus seed, plus straw. And I know it sounds like a little thing, but...
No, it's not.
It's
very frustrating on all levels for all of us.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And that's why we have to remain cognizant that typically First Energy is...
responsive.
Is pretty responsive to any of our needs. So,
yeah.
But yes, the mayor asked me to reach out to Kevin and have him issue that in an email or a memo. As to where we're at, even if he can't confirm on timelines, mm-hmm. at least put the process down of what I just shared right. with you guys.
No, so I appreciate it, Rob, especially last week when the issue was brought back up, and I was like, holy smoke, I thought this had been resolved. We hadn't heard anything, mm-hmm. Brian or myself, as far as I knew, or you. I had reached out to Mr. Smalley, but still had not heard from him, either. That's why I wanted to ask tonight, because I thought about it with the industrial parkways.
Right.
Yeah, and Mayor, I'm fine just knowing that they're on it, that they've got this big project going on. It's got to be a headache for them. So I'm fine with that, as long as it keeps moving forward. That AT&T box, though, that just boggles my mind why they would. Is it sitting on the ground?
Yes.
Is it connected to anything?
All it is a loop. You have a major cable coming out of the ground. It's not connected to nothing. It's just the loop comes out of the ground. It goes
just
back down in the ground.
Loop.
Right.
Interesting.
So.
And they just push it down into the ground.
Yeah, to me that's bizarre. But
sometimes they track it there. That's
yeah. Right.
You might have some of those even with your cable in your yard. You'll see that. Thing or AT&T and nothing more than a loop mm-hmm. in there. It just now the thing is with why we talk about the email too, because that will also help as council members. You can also share that with mm-hmm. the or we can too, any of us with the business owner, because us telling them sometimes is is the mayor giving us the runaround, is council. Where if we have something, it's like, well, we are reaching out. We got a little more concrete. It will help us with that. So I feel confident they'll get it straightened out.
It was understandable to a degree with the illuminating company saying, hey, we've got these hurricanes going on. We've got everybody, deployed out in those areas. And we could understand that, but it's just
then the hurricanes passed.
Yeah. and they're... So I'm like, what is going on? But thank you, Rob, very much.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything for infrastructure? Residents? Want to add anything? Okay. Well, we'll move on to safety and insurance. Just to share a little bit with that, Mr. Nielsen is the chair, Fred's the chair of that committee. I know me and Fred have talked quite a bit this week, and Katie. The chief, as I mentioned earlier, is on vacation. We wanted to bring the chief in to talk about a couple things, but Fred talked to him and he thought, well, maybe why don't we do it? We got, next month, and he's got a couple things he wants to bring forward. We can do that. He did update us on a couple things Fred can update us on. But I know Fred and Katie talked about the insurance, and so we can kind of talk about that if you want to.
Yeah, just,
go ahead, Fred.
We're not going to go over too much as far as since Stan's not here. I know that we had talked about one of his concerns was a new car, so that was one of the things. But when Stan comes back, we'll talk about that. The traffic camera we all agreed on, that's going to go in. They're waiting on a pole. That camera was agreed on with the company before before I seated on council. So I went along with their recommendation. As far as that being said, the insurance part, Katie handles most of the insurance. We've just gone over some of the insurance. I know that the insurance had been dropped, and the village needed a new insurance company. And for the village, the people that work here in the village, they were offered HSA accounts, I guess, and only what one picked up on the
mm-hmm. HSA. We had three different options, three okay, levels, well, right. one only.
Well, maybe
one.
I'll let Katie, yeah. if you handle the insurance, so mm-hmm. if you want to maybe explain just a little bit.
Sure.
And explain that part, what happened with our county program. You know, why we got the let us go. Not let us go, but drop the whole program.
So we were with Cuyahoga County. They had a regional health care program, which helped small communities, and there were some larger ones who were part of it, going into a big pool to lower your risk. So everyone had really great coverage levels, and the risk was low, so we were able to have good premiums. Unfortunately, the county, through an audit process, realized that they were not making money. In fact, they were losing money, quite a bit of money, in this program because they were giving people increases across the board, whereas they should have been increasing different cities based on their experience level of that year. So the county disbanded as of 2019. We went out for bids. We could not get a plan anywhere close to what we had with Medical Mutual. We did get quotes, bless you, from Medical Mutual. However, even at a 30% higher rate than we were paying, we would still not be at the coverage levels that we were with the county plan. So we currently are with Anthem. It is on a May to May renewal versus January to January renewal. Our rates are guaranteed through May of 20, so we will not have any rate renewals this May. We have three different levels, HSA, $1,000 deductible and a $500 deductible. I have 24 people enrolled in health care. I have 23 in the $500 deductible, one in the $1,000 and one in the HSA. I will say that it's had its tough, there's some bumps along the road. It's very difficult to go from a plan that we had, which had such excellent coverage, to go to a plan which is still very good, but not as good as we had. So unfortunately, that's just not available to us. So, but overall, I think we'll be fine, and if we have a lot of complaints or any issues, then we go out for bid again.
And then we did shop it, you know, we did, our broker did shop around. As you know, she was here at, we had an insurance meeting mm-hmm. beginning of
Carol
the year.
From Oswald.
Carol,
yeah,
she
yes.
was here from Oswald. I know at that meeting we talked about, in that COW meeting, we talked about maybe an incentive if anybody took the HSA. We only had one person, so that's kind of mm-hmm. off the table. I know we talked about maybe doing that as we move forward, so that's something we're not going to do. What was the savings with this? So we still had a savings with.
So we will still see probably, I'm guesstimating about $38,000 to $40,000 in savings from what we paid the previous year. If everyone had gone HSA, then yes, we would have a big savings. But we did not choose this plan just to save money. This is, it's a very good comparable plan. It is slightly less, which we were surprised. But we did not choose that one specifically because it was less money, just to make that point.
Right.
It's still a very good plan.
It was something that was important to us. And I guess what Katie's saying there is we probably would have stuck with the other plan. We have very good employees here. They haven't been given a raise. So we appreciate it. We offered them a good benefit package. And then when the county dropped that program, we shopped around. We tried to give them the best plan. But with that, they got a decent plan, a pretty good plan. But we also saved quite a bit of money on the village end, too. So
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Well, I was very surprised that the plan even included an HSA and a deductible program. Most plans don't offer you that anymore. Where I work, HSA, that's it. You don't get a choice. And our deductibles for a family is $10,000. So this is a pretty good plan, and the fact that, you know, you actually had some savings. Mm-hmm. And from what you tell me about the county, sounds like they didn't have a good risk manager, because that should not, they should have been able to at least break even, if not make money. But I don't think a person who understood insurance was handling it.
No.
And that's unfortunate, because then everyone suffers for it. So I'm glad we were able to do this.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say, for come renewal time in May of 2020, I don't think we should take off the board an incentive for the employees to take the HSA.
I agree.
I think that's something that, you know, we can
absolutely
work on.
Right.
And hopefully give them a good enough incentive that they'll want to use it, and that'll help save us also.
Mm-hmm. You may not have an option by 2020 other than an HSA, depending
right.
on how everything pans out. So.
And I think, and you're probably right, kind of what happened with our employees, it moved so fast, all of a sudden the county dropped the program. Now there we are shopping around, and the employees, I don't know if they had a lot of time to even.
And it's a scary
jump to make.
It's a big decision.
Even though you can jump back the other way, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, but the employees, I mean, while they were educated about what everything was, it was still a very short time frame
exactly.
for them to try to make that decision. They weren't able to think about this for a couple of months,
right.
you know, to come up with an idea.
Mm-hmm. So moving forward, yeah, we can have, and maybe have, well, I know you have meetings with the employees and the representative, but we can also have it, if we can even have it in this meeting, and if the employees want to come at that time. Rob, he loves coming to these meetings because he has nothing else to do. You have four kids. I'm sure you have nothing else to do tonight.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
I keep harping on the police cars. And I did speak with, well, I had a meeting with Chief Jaworski about the insurance on those. And those, as we know, the Ohio plan only allows them to be insured up to 100,000 miles because of pursuits. They won't allow a car to be in a pursuit after 100,000 miles for whatever reason they have. We're a village of 7 square miles. We have no highway. How much of a pursuit have we done in the last 50 years, I think that it behooves us to do whatever we can. I mean, if we could get it increased to 150,000 miles because of our situation, our geographical situation, that would help our budget tremendously. And, you know, I know a little bit about cars. I'm not the overall expert on them, but I know if a car is well maintained, 100,000 miles isn't anything on a car. It just isn't anymore.
You get some factory warranties with that now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Get a Kia. It'll be, mm-hmm. you know. You know, I think it behooves us to maybe there's nothing we can do, or, you know, but I think it is to our advantage to at least make a concerted effort to do what we can do, or just say these cars, you know, we're not going to pursue, just make the radio call.
Right.
And, you know, to Valley View, they're on their way. We're coming down Alexander,
yeah.
you know, or, you know, or Bedford or wherever else, but I think that it needs to at least be researched.
Kate, do you know, we talked about the date for our casualty and...
So our renewal for our property casualty auto
which is, right.
will
we won't be discussing it until November, December-ish. But before then, we can have Pat Hickey from Love Insurance come in. You can ask him questions about that. And I mean, I assume that he would know if there are other options available.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that was my next question. Is this the carrier's recommendation, or is this a state requirement?
I don't know. It's called the Ohio plan, so it
sounds like it's a state thing.
It sounds like it, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, let's keep that on the radar for November when we will talk to our rep Pat, and we all know Pat Hickey doesn't. He's very straightforward.
That's a good point.
Wait, can we put that on the forecast in October so we've got a little time
prior
to that? You know, give us time to make sure we get all our ducks in a row.
Yes.
And that's something we can also, I mean, we can call them ahead of time. We have the chief here. If we have him here in March at one of the COW meetings, we can talk about that too. So we can put that on. Any other safety and insurance?
Yeah, I'd like to say, Jennifer, thank you for putting that out about the camera. You know, the more people that find out and the more people that know, the better it is. So
thank you.
You know, appreciate that.
No problem.
Right, and we're going to put something in the journal, and there is requirements we have to do for that camera to let everybody know and stuff. Anything from the residents? Safety and insurance. Okay. Other business, I just have one thing just to talk about what we're going to have on the agenda for next Tuesday's council meeting. Looks like the only piece of legislation is the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste Management Plan. That's the only thing we'll have on there. Oh, that's right. We didn't get a date. Well, Katie was just telling me, usually we have Student Government Day in February. We've been talking to them. They didn't have a day in February. They're talking about it in March. They haven't given you a day yet, though.
Well, the council meeting.
Oh, there will be this council meeting?
Yes.
In March.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then we'll get a little more. You'll know it will be that date.
Yeah.
19th.
But usually we'll get here early for dinner and stuff with them. And they'll go through the police department or whatever we want to do, and they'll be here as our counterparts. So,
okay.
And that's in March.
Yeah, I'd been reaching out to the teacher they were usually with, and turns out he's no longer there. So, Matt Larson.
Oh, yeah, he's not there
he's
anymore?
He's in a different position. Wow. So, Darren Posick. He was here a couple years ago with them. He reached out to me and let me know he's in charge now. So it was kind of short notice for February, so he agreed March would work the best for the meeting. Yeah. And that the students always look forward to it very much.
So do we.
And I
said
we do too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of an update, I know last week in the COW meeting we touched base about the busing for St. Michael's. What Bill did, he reached out, and you want to talk about that a little, Bill, and just kind of where we're at, because you're going to give me an opinion before I talk to Jerry, who's the business.
Yeah, essentially we looked at the policy that Bedford had. I had one of the attorneys who does K-212 law, and just really looked at it. What the letter that you received from the school district was pursuant to Ohio Revised Code, they have to do certain things. But there's a policy that's in place that says when and how they're going to pick them up. So, for example, they're picking up 15 kids now.
Right.
And it's going to get reduced to 9. It's in their policy that says after 15, they've got to make some other recommendations. So it's our belief that all they have to do is change the policy if that be the desire. So they can lower it, they can raise it. But it's a board policy that creates that issue.
Mm-hmm. So, well, what I didn't want to do, and talk Dr. Selico, who's the superintendent, you know, I shared with you, sent me an email to talk to Jerry, Zarebic, the business manager, but I told Bill, and his office is looking into it, about whether I should give him a number or some other kind of wording, because what we didn't want to do is
if there's a way not to have a number, because let's say I would say, okay, hey, ask the school board to vote for 8, make that decision, and the following year we have 7, we could be in the same situation. We don't want to go back and forth. So I was talking to Bill, maybe there's some wording they could put in that, you know, if the school board's okay with whatever, or they will review it at certain times. So just to let you know, we're not letting that go. We just want to have all the ducks in a row, because if they ask for our suggestion, we want to give them the right advice. So that's kind of where that's at. So,
Mr. Mayor, we don't have any projections of, we know that the attendance on the bus has gone down, obviously.
Well, they're projecting it's going to go down. That's what
they're projecting.
They did, yes.
Do we have any future projections, or is there any way to even project that as to how many kids would be coming up through?
They do a K-8 program.
Yeah, so I was going to say,
theoretically, each year you're going to be getting kids coming in and other kids graduating.
There is one child on the bus from Oakwood.
Yeah, we found that out too. We're doing a little more, so let's say if Oakwood got a few more now. Right. So,
well, and they did have a couple of kids from Bedford in the past also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why we kind of talked to, you know, you hate to go back and put a number in there, so we project 9 next year. We ask them to put in 9.
Yeah,
then
you,
the following
you want to make
year
it
if we don't have to. So that's where.
Mm-hmm. So we talked to St. Michael's and told them to advertise.
Kids. Unexpected.
Does anybody in the audience think there are any kids in the future? Anybody here? I know on my side, me and Marion are done.
Deeks, are you planning on having any children yet? You're not planning on having any kids, are you?
Rob?
I just want your answer.
Yeah. Me too.
I think for $8 million,
I think you're right.
That's what I said.
It's exactly
what
I said. And that's where we're at, Rob. That's how we feel in talking to
other
council members. We feel that same way. But we'll approach it in a very professional manner, and I think it will go well. Mm-hmm. Any other business from anybody, or?
Mayor, just to go back on this road recommendation,
yes.
This $75,000, I don't know if council would be willing to put that on for next week. I don't know if it would help Rob in his planning in that, or if we wanted to discuss that more and wait till a later date. I don't know if it helps Rob and Don Sheehy, maybe with pricing or whatever. I don't know.
Right. Well, with that said, Rob, what do you think? Because if we, I know some of it was we were going to wait to see where we were at, like the second quarter, and also you talked about whether or not they were going to do the sewers there. What we don't want to do is do any patching there, and then we go and. So kind of give us your feedback on what...
No, I would just say if we're going to allocate the funding for it, just let us know. I mean, we have some time here. We're going to... Okay. Joe Gelati and I would go throughout the village and indicate the worst areas, being cognizant of the fact that we may receive funding over
right.
the horseshoe. But outside of that, there's plenty of areas. So if you're going to allocate it, just let us know. Joe and I will get together. We'll indicate the areas, and we can move forward and start getting bids on it.
Okay.
Do we want to? Why don't we in March, Darren, the next two COWs look at the budget a little bit? I know Mary, were you talking about having a review?
A general review of the
finances?
Budget. Yeah, the finances in March.
Yeah.
That's usually when everybody's done, at least in my world, you know, their audits
right.
are done, so.
Why don't we'll have a finance committee, one of those two meetings, and then with that we can look at the numbers and
see
if we
available.
Want to move forward
yeah.
with allocating that $76,000. Sound like a plan?
Yep.
Okay. Let's do that.
Any other business? Anything from the audience before we adjourn the meeting? Anything from the street commissioner? Rob, do you have anything else for infrastructure right now?
No.
Okay. All right. Can we have a motion for adjournment?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the COW meeting of February 12th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Fred Nielsen.
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 8:13 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
I forgot to tell you, before the meeting started.
Just in time.
I had Carl.